This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. The local playwright Eric Samuelson died last Friday. In fact, just now, his friends and family are celebrating his life at a funeral in Provo. Eric was a frequent guest on the show. He joined us to talk about the many plays he produced and his long-running and special partnership with Plan B Theater Company. In addition to his plays about Mormon faith crises, the economics of World War II, and the Whitewater scandal, he also wrote a radio drama for us about a demented holiday elf. Eric was a playwright and an artist with great range, and those who knew him say he shared his talents and gifts throughout his life. Earlier today, we spoke with two people who were very close to him, Jerry Rapier, the artistic director of Plan B Theater Company, and Melissa Leilani Larson, a local playwright herself. She was a former student, by the way, and a mentee of Eric's. And we began by talking about just who Eric was, what made him so special.
I would definitely say that Eric was the smartest human in any room he ever entered in any situation for any reason.
I would agree with that 100%.
And also maybe the least egotistical person I've ever met. He was so secure in what he knew that he really saw himself, and everyone who was in his orbit felt this from him, I think, feels this from him, felt this from him, that he was there to share what he knew. Mm-hmm. And really learn more from the people he was around. It was just incredible generosity of spirit.
A lot of people in the local theater community have talked about his impact as a professor at Brigham Young University. Talk a little bit about that, if you would. Like, what was he like as a mentor and a teacher?
For me, he was almost an unexpected mentor. I have a very distinct memory of first going to meet him and being nervous to meet someone who was doing what I had done at that point in time. I had written 2.5 plays. None of them had been produced. I didn't know what that was like. And here was a guy who had already produced I don't know how many plays, had been writing for 20 years. And I was nervous to knock on his door. But when I did actually knock on his door and I went in, and it was, you know, a room full of paper and Eric. And all of the nervousness went away. He was so easy to talk to. He's very approachable and very open and very supportive, even though he didn't know anything about me or what I was trying to do. And that's the kind of teacher that he was. Every student was important. Every student was valuable. Every student was talented. And he was all about finding the best way to make you the best theater artist you could be.
What about that, Jerry, that he was interacting with artists who have to negotiate, you know, the world of art, the sensitivities, the emotions of art, and the people who come to that themselves are over, you know, of a particular type?
Well, I have been thinking a lot about, since Eric's passing, about Mel and about Matthew Green and Morag Shepherd, that are three playwrights that are part of our extended Plan B family as well. And Mel went in knowing she wanted to be a playwright. Morag and Matt were unsure. And Eric, in both cases, sat them down and told them he could see it. And he saw it before they did, that was, in essence, their calling. And that just speaks to who he was as a human and as a professor, that he really understood how to help students see their gifts. And he also was really open about his own shortcomings. I've talked to several people who were his students that were far from stellar star students, that in some ways I think he impacted them the most, because he shared the burden of their difficulty with his classes. He took it on himself, not you're failing, you must do this X, Y, and Z to pass, but rather I'm failing you too, so let's work together and do it together.
It's difficult, too. I mean, it takes a lot of bandwidth to be that kind of instructor.
Sure.
There's a lot more emotional weight that goes into it, I think, than just hours in the day.
Your reference to artists and that specifically, a lot of times people are drawn to the arts, are able to express themselves artistically because of maybe other things that have been a part of the fabric of their life that are complicated to navigate and difficult to articulate, and particularly in an environment like BYU.
Conservative religious place.
Yeah, a place where some things that many artists struggle with are not easy to share. There are several actors who have worked with us, several other theater artists that I know, and just some students that happen to interact with Eric as a religion professor that I know are identify as LGBTQ now, that credit him for their still being, them still being with us, still being alive, that he literally saved their lives simply by having his door open and letting them know that he was there for them. He and I had a couple of conversations about the complexity of teaching in a university that was complicated for him because his political beliefs and some of his views of his faith didn't always align with the school. But he knew no matter what that struggle was, he was also there for another reason, which was for these students.
Yeah. Was he a doubter?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I think he would claim that title with pride, but also not a fearful doubter. I think doubt energized him.
Yeah. Now, doubt is a very natural part, I think, of people who are faithful. And I think he embraced that because it's how you are able to find and navigate your faith, is realizing that you have doubts and that's okay.
Doubt is complicated, but that seems like something he imbued in his character, certainly the ones who were, that he wrote about in the last parts of his life. He imbued them with that complication, doubt, and other complicated feelings, it seems.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot the last week or so. Interestingly, of the plays that we produced of his, only two were LDS themed, but he's got a huge canon of work, and there are quite a few plays that focus on LDS characters and themes, but very rarely is security and faith a driving force of any of the characters. They're a group of people who come together to ask questions, and I think one of the reasons people resonate so much with the characters that Eric created and the plays that he gave them homes in is because he was willing to ask the questions that other people felt they had to keep inside. He verbalized what other people were thinking. And I think he found doubt and questions to be affirming. And going back to what I said earlier about how smart he was, I think that he was a little, maybe far more advanced than most of us may ever be in his faith. And that gave him such a sense of security that he could talk about doubt in a way that most people are simply terrified of doing.
Yes, I would agree with that. I think a lot of people find doubt difficult because if they go that route, they're afraid it's a point of no return. And I think Eric, advanced is a really good word for it. It's like he's almost gone down that road ahead and been like, it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to, you know, look at different angles. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not that scary.
Eric created a play called Borderlands a few years ago. Four characters, all of them Mormon or sort of Mormon. And they all, throughout the course of the play, come out. Only one of them was gay. And the gay character, in fact, was the most sort of settled with his identity, which is really interesting. Talk a little bit about Borderlands, if you would, Jerry. You've said it's probably his most personal play.
Yeah, I definitely would say that it's his seminal work. It's the one play of his that I truly, literally see Eric inside of. Really, and it's like Eric cut himself into four pieces, and they are the people in this play.
Wow.
Yes, the one character that you would associate with the term coming out is actually a teenage boy who's very comfortable with who he is and also very comfortable with being Mormon. The other three characters in the play, his Aunt Gail, and then a man named Dave who is trying to date his Aunt Gail, and his sister Phyllis, who Dave and Phyllis run a used car lot in Provo together. They're unsure how Mormon they really are, how much they believe. Do they believe it all? Do they believe any of it? But they all need to appear to believe what others think they do. And I think it was genius that Eric set this play on a used car lot where truth is very relative. And he gave us this amazing device that he called the Honesty Car, where these characters would sit in a car in a used car lot and tell the truth about their lives to each other, truth that they could never tell anyone else in any other setting.
You're Mormon, okay? So how excited are you about your son's mission?
Okay. Not very.
Seriously?
Not at all. You don't even believe in the missionary program of the church. Wait, you don't.
And the freedom that that offered each of those characters and how they collectively found strength from that was incredibly powerful.
Because he thinks you want him to.
No, I do want him to. I do. I just...
That's not what you told me.
Will you shut up?
We're just bothering people, telling them their beliefs aren't good enough. That's what you told me.
And that's true.
You think so?
They believe in false doctrines, don't they? People in the world? Worldly people?
If he doesn't want to go and you don't want him to go...
A manner of falsehood.
It'll be good for him to go. I'm not against him
going. Falsehood and wickedness. So that's why we need missionaries.
Well put, sis.
Brian, you can't tell Andy any of this, okay?
He's my cousin. He's my friend. This is 2 years of his life we're talking about. If you really don't want him to...
I want to talk to him myself about it, okay? Will you just let me do that?
I guess.
Brother.
You should be ashamed of yourself, you know.
I am.
Not supporting your missionary. You're as bad as Dave, and he's a criminal.
More things in common, see?
I support him. I'm the one who basically talked him into going.
Lied him into going.
Mind your own business.
You need to tell him the truth.
Oh, you make it sound so easy. The truth. Straightforward and clean.
You can't let him do something he really doesn't want.
Oh, so I just smile and say, hey, son, here's what I really feel. What say you don't go after all? It's not all this tangled mess of contradicting feelings and fear and what are we going to do? And why did that bastard have to leave me alone to deal with all this?
Yes. Why did he? Just left us alone, nothing but pain and loneliness and no answers. None. And absolutely nothing to look forward to.
No.
It's so unfair how long we have to wait.
But you still go to church. You still believe.
I don't want to hurt forever.
No.
Of course not.
If there's a forever. If it ends and there's nothing, then it ended and there was nothing. But if there's a forever, then I will do what I need to so I can spend it with them. Restore what God took from me. And so I go. Every Sunday.
The four actors that embodied those characters, myself directing it, everyone who designed it, worked on it, that play changed our lives in ways that are very difficult to articulate. But I think it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, about how Eric had this ability to, well, the way you said it, Mel, he was a little farther down the road, guiding us to where he was and helping people feel that the fear was in anticipating the questions, not in asking the questions themselves. He wrote characters that said the things that we are afraid to say. He focused on the subtext rather than the surface language that we use to try not to communicate with people. And in that way, actors were able to connect in a very different way to these people that were so real. It was almost painful at times.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, you said this. You said you think it's going to be a shame that he may not be remembered for making a contribution to Mormon literature. Explain what you mean.
Well, there's a couple of thoughts behind that. The first is that theater as an art form tends to be very transient and temporary. And, you know, what your goal, my goal as a playwright is to create an emotional experience for the audience. And when you are successful, and that's great, and people go home talking about it. Eric would always say that the best plays get under your skin and you talk about them on the drive home and then you talk about them 2 weeks later. But then do people keep talking about them 2 weeks after that? And I think that Eric is one of those writers that we should be talking about on the same level with Levi Peterson and Maureen Whipple and Carolyn Pearson. He is one of the great literary artists who just happens to be Mormon. And it would be a shame for his work for us to let it go in a way. I feel like I'm hoping that it'll be able to be in a place where it can be read and studied. So someone someday is going to teach a graduate seminar in the collected works of Eric Samuelson. Mm. And I think that'd be a great thing.
Final word.
I'm just grateful for him taking those risks, because I've been able to take risks in my work because he did it first. Because he's a little ahead on the path.
He was a great artist and teacher, but mostly he was...
just the best guy.
Yeah, a friend and family.
Jerry Rapier and Melissa Leilani Larson. Eric Samuelson died last Friday. He was 63. Radio West is a production of KUER, thanks to our intern, Natu Twe. The program produced by Benjamin Bombard and Tim Slover. Christy Miners is our executive producer. I'm Doug Fabrizio.